Good afternoon, brethren. Today's scripture reading is going to be from John 16, verses 5 through 15, and it's regarding the power of the Holy Spirit. And it reads as follows: But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to tell you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. This is by far going to be the shortest message that you will ever hear from me. Lisa, get ready. She's coming up after me. Okay, that's my introduction. other issues with the law. Okay, I think I'm going to just get into this part of it. Thank you for the reading of the word. And the one part that I'm going to get into is the part that says that I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, this is an amazing thing, really, because this is something that was said when Jesus Christ, during that last night, he was there with all of his disciples. And, you know, look at it this way. For the past 3.5 years, he ate with them, right? Talked with them, went on mission trips with them. They spent a lot of time together. Right? They became friends. Remember the scripture, he says that, I don't call you, I forgot what it is, but what? Servants, yes, thank you. I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And now here he is, 3.5 years into the relationship, knowing fully well that he's going to be called away. He's going to have to die tonight. And knowing the human experience as he's learned it over the past 33 or so years, right? He knew that there would be issues. He knew that the disciples would miss him. He knew they would go through a period of grief. He knew that they would go through a period where they are now looking for something or someone to hold on to as their base, their foundation. So during that night, the book of John records, it's about 5 chapters long, 4 or 5 chapters, where he's now speaking with them. He's now comforting them, and he's saying, listen, I am going to send you Holy Spirit. I am going to send you the Comforter. I am going to send you the Counselor. He's going to take care of you. I must leave now so that Holy Spirit will come. And then what he says, I need you to tarry in Jerusalem until it happens. Now, could you imagine, okay, between that Monday, Thursday, when they had that meal, and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit finally came, we had approximately 7 weeks, right? And Jesus says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. He didn't tell them how long. He just says, wait. Could you imagine what the disciples went through? Hey, well, it's 3 weeks, right? Well, how long are we supposed to wait? Well, all the master said is, wait. Well, Peter, you're the head disciple here, right? It's been 5 weeks. What are we supposed to do? Wait. We're into 6 weeks. What are we supposed to do? Wait. That's obedience, right? It's obedience. God says, wait, so we wait. And finally, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, where it says that the Holy Spirit came. Now, the interesting thing here is that there's a particular word, charism, which gives the feeling, and it actually means that it's the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in human beings, right? Coming and dwelling in human beings and giving them the not opportunity, but the wherewithal to perform tasks that were previously impossible. Gonna say that again. Before Holy Spirit came, we have this thing in our minds that, oh, I can't do this. This is too much for me. This is too big of a job. This is a God-sized job. Right? You're right. It's a God-sized job. You're right. We can't do this. However, Holy Spirit now dwells in us, giving us the opportunity and giving us the skill, giving us what we need in order to accomplish what was previously impossible. Look at it this way. Who was the guy who denied Christ 3 times in one night? The rooster crowed, right? Peter, right? That rock. Well, he was some sand at that time, right? He wasn't a rock. Because just like that, you know, he just crumbled, right? Peter was the one who denied Christ 3 times. And yet we look in the book of Acts. What does it say? Peter, he was out there preaching the word, right? He was out there telling people, you know, about Christ, and he was healing people. And then what happened later? They took him, put him in prison, and then they told him, don't you ever get out there and preach in his name again. And what did Peter say? Did he crumble at that time? Did he hear any roosters crowing? No. What he said is that, well, check this out. The God who created everything, the universe, the God who raised the dead, the God who has protected and provided and done every single thing and has blessed us beyond anything we can even imagine, this is the God who says that I need to do his will. So you tell me, who should I listen to? Should I listen to God or should I listen to you? I mean, the answer is obvious, right? It's obvious. But see, what happens too is that sometimes we are placed in the same position, and I said it before during the little meeting we had, we fear. And the reason we fear, or in some cases it's just a little anxiety, is because we don't believe that we actually have what it takes to do what God says. Sometimes we say, well, how do you hear from God? You know how you hear from God. You hear from God a lot of times, right? But the issue is that we don't want to do what God says because we have anxiety about it. God, this is new. I don't know how to do this. Then what happens is that we say, maybe a little bit later. But when we postpone, right, doing what God says, that's also disobedience. Many of us have problems, right? We got issues in our lives, and we say, well, God, help me deal with this problem. And God says, okay, here's what you need to do. You want help? This is what you need to do. You need to go to your brother, right? And then you need to face him, and you need to work that out. That's what Holy Spirit says, right? Because you feel it down inside you. You know this is what you got to do. And then we say, well, don't know if I can do that. And we try to find ways of wiggling out of it, right? Tell the truth. And then another issue comes up, and then we say, well, God, help me with this issue. And then God says, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to go to your job, right? And that person sitting next to you in the cubicle, right? You need to go talk with that person. That can't be God talking, because God knows what kind of person she is, right? He wouldn't ask me to do something like that. And we find ways to justify our disobedience. And then we go to God again and again and again, and God keeps telling us what we need to do. And then that one time we go to God and we don't hear from him, and we wonder, well, what's going on? Why do we not hear from God? You see, I don't know for sure, right? But I'm just speculating here, right? And that's what I do. I ask questions and I speculate. Could it be that for the past 4 or 5 times, we go to God and ask God for help, and God told us what to do, we didn't do it, and God is there now saying, well, why are you coming to me for? You ain't gonna do what I say anyway. And then we stop hearing from God. You see, the difference here is this, that when Holy Spirit speaks, and it gets down, as we say, into our craw, into the soul, we know when Holy Spirit speaks, right? And as we begin to allow Holy Spirit to live in us, I'm not talking about us who say, well, you know, let me clean up this sepulchre first, right? Let me wash it clean. Let me get the house in order. Let me clean the house first before I allow Jesus Christ to come in. You see, as Dr. Phil says, how has that worked for you? Because the bottom line is that we can't do the cleaning. Amen. This morning in the class, the example came up of the servant. We pay the servant to come in and clean, and then we say, well, okay, no, leave that there. That has sentimental value. No, don't take that away. I want to keep those. No, don't take this, because I'm still going through that, right? I haven't fully gone through that yet. Oh, no, leave that alone and leave this. And then the servant is just, well, why am I here? But see, what happens is that once we invite Holy Spirit in, what needs to happen? We need to get out. Let Holy Spirit do his work, right? Because what happens now is that Holy Spirit provides us with what we need, right? What we need so that the impossible could be done. And what do we call them? Gifts. He gives us gifts. Some people ask the question, well, how do you know it's a gift from the Holy Spirit? It's simple. Is it from Holy Spirit? Yeah, it's a gift. You didn't pay for it, did you? Did you pay for the ability to administer? Did anybody pay for that? Did anybody pay for the ability to talk with people? Did anybody pay for these different things that you got? No, you didn't. That's a free gift to you for the purpose of doing the work. Right? That's the shortest message you'd ever hear from me. So the same Spirit that worked in Peter to give him the boldness to speak is the same Spirit that's in you right now. It's the same Spirit that's given you the ability to administer. It's the same Spirit that gives you the ability to speak. It's the same Spirit that gives you the ability to teach. It's the same Spirit that gives you whatever abilities you have for the whole purpose of making the impossible in your life possible. Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call my wife out here, and she's going to speak for 2 minutes so that we can get out of here.
2 minutes. It's 12:12 now. Good morning. Well, afternoon now. Hi. Basically, earlier, what was it, February, we talked about our spiritual gifts. And we were going, you know, going through the process, and several of you have already. So I just want to reiterate and remind you of what we said about spiritual gifts. And as Kenneth was saying, we were talking about the impossible. And see, with God, everything is possible. With us, that's where the issue comes in. So Jesus said that when he left, he would send a comforter. He would send an advocate. He would send an helper. And that's why it says in Hebrews that we will say that the Lord was our helper. So just be reminded. Just want to remind you of the things we said at the very beginning. One, you are loved. That's why he did it. Two, you have the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing greater in this world than that. And he says that. There's nothing greater than what's in you. And you have been given a gift. Amen? Amen. So everyone here, please remember, be aware. If you're on the prayer line in the morning, one of the quotes at the end is, even when Kenneth's not on there, they say it anyway. Remember who you are and whose you are. And everyone here is a minister. Everyone, all of us are called to minister. We may be called to minister in different capacities, doing different things, but at any given time, at any day, it may be your divine appointment to answer a question, to be that example. And not what, well, you wait there, I gotta go get the pastor over here. I can't. And you know, and sometimes people may ask you something you don't know, and you just tell them you don't know, and you'll get back to them. But we are all part of the royal priesthood. The word says that we are a part of a royal priesthood. Do you believe what the word says?
Yes.
So that means we are a part of a royal priesthood. So what I was going to do is for those who have done their spiritual gifts and turned them in, let's look at what we have so far. Amen? So Douglas, oh, there we go. Now, I'm just going to go through these. Can you read it? The gift of administration is the ability to organize information and manage a ministry activity in such a way that it provides order and supports the mission and vision of the body. And these are, and what I did, I took the top three of what each individual had, and I put you there. Now, some people had a tie. They had a top one, two, and then they had maybe three or four other traits that came up or gifts that came up, and they were all scoring the same. So I put those in there as well. So you may see someone's name come up more than three times. But these are the people in our congregation so far that have exhibited the gift of administration. Next, apostle. And this is an entrepreneurial ability to start new churches or ministries. Don't laugh. I was just as surprised as you. The next one, discernment. The gift of discernment is the unusual ability to see through circumstances to the underlying issues of right and wrong influences. They are able to distinguish between truth and error. And if you notice, we have some of our youth, because our youth also took a spiritual gift survey. And you're going to see some of our youth showing up under leadership, under pastoring, and in other areas as well. So we have a foundation to start building on. Next one, evangelism. The gift of evangelism is the ability to explain and convince others to accept God's offer of forgiveness in a positive, non-threatening way. Which means you're not going to take a Bible and go beat somebody or thump them on the head and yell and scream at them, but you have a way to be able to explain the gospel. Next, exhortation and encouragement. The gift of exhortation or encouragement is the ability to communicate to another in such a way as to bring spiritual encouragement and hope. They strengthen, comfort, counsel, challenge, and encourage others by applying truths from God's word to the situation. So are you all seeing any surprises or anything? Or are you like, oh, yeah, they've been showing that gift. faith. And there's a ton of people. We have a lot of faith in this congregation. The gift of faith is the ability to trust God for accomplishing the supernatural. They are able to believe God to act in meeting the immediate need. Nothing is impossible for God to the one with the gift of faith. Next, it's giving. The gift of giving is the ability to give finances and resources that enhance the work of God's kingdom. They welcome opportunities to cheerfully support ministries they believe will spread the gospel. They see their often sacrificial giving as offerings to the Lord directly rather than an organization. And this gift, it really doesn't depend on how much money you have. There are some people that give. They may not have money, but they will give you the shirt off their back. They will make a meal for you. There are all kinds of ways that they will give, including financial. Knowledge. The gift of knowledge is the ability to discover, clarify, and communicate biblical truths. Their knowledge comes by revelation from God, and often there is no other source that could have given them insight. And I have met someone who had the gift of knowledge, who was able to say to someone, you know, you need to call such and such and such and such because of XYZ. And they had no idea about the situation, but God had given this gift of knowledge. So he went and told the person. And truth was, she was flabbergasted. Like, how did he know? Now, you may have experienced some of that. Someone comes to you and says something. You're like, well, how do they know? So sometimes that's the gift of knowledge. Leadership. Now, you see the one of the people up there. Yeah. Takaya. Leadership. Kira. Leadership. All of them are over there in the annex doing their Sunday school right now. Chloe. Leadership. I think Kyle. All the people on leadership are our youth. All four of them. So we know that we have some developing and some empowering and equipping and mentoring and coaching to do as they come along. Mercy. The gift of mercy is the ability to see the needs of others and respond to those needs in love. They are sensitive to those who are suffering and feel compelled to help people who are in pain or crisis. Okay, the next one, check this one out. Pastor Shepherd. Now, was someone saying, oh, I don't know what the pastors may call on me to do, right? Some of you are like, But look at how many people in this congregation actually came up with one of their top three gifts being a pastor or shepherd. The gift of pastor or shepherding is the ability to care for those who are in the body with various spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. They watch over the welfare of those in the flock, much like a shepherd watches over and protects a flock of sheep. They are also concerned for the spiritual nurture of individuals, encouraging them to grow in their faith. So everybody take note. The next one is prophecy. And we didn't have anyone that landed in prophecy for their top three. But not everyone has taken their spiritual gift surveys. I was having a discussion in the back with someone. So we never know who in here will score. There are still some out. Next one. Serving and ministering, or service and helps. The gifts of service is the ability to accomplish practical and necessary tasks that support and build up the body of Christ. They often work behind the scenes but are motivated to do things so that others do not have to. They enjoy doing the menial without recognition. And next one, teaching. The gift of teaching is the ability to understand and communicate information so that others within the body learn, apply, and grow spiritually. They are able to explain why things are true. They often research and draw truths together in ways that provide great insights for their students. And then lastly, wisdom. the ability to apply God's word to a specific situation. They are able to apply knowledge and offer very practical counsel to others. They often have a supernatural understanding of a situation that they had no previous knowledge about and able to explain what to do and how to do it. So far, as we've gone through this process of analyzing our spiritual gifts, and I do encourage those of you who have not done yours yet, there are still surveys on the table. It's still on our website. You can just click on spiritual gifts and you can do it online to learn what it is. Find out how God, the Holy Spirit, has gifted you. And then you're better able to discern where here as shepherds or out there, where do you fit? How did God place this in you to be able to do the various things that he needs done? So with that being said, I just wanted you to know where we are so far with that, let you see some of the results, encourage you to finish yours if you have not, because nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Amen. And he plans on doing some things here at Shepherd's Community Church, and he wants you to be ready when he taps you on the shoulder. Amen? So, Lord God Almighty, here we are, your sons and daughters, here entering into your throne room because you have given us the opportunity. You have taught us your truth. You have allowed us in. And Lord, there are so many people who don't know that they can enter in. They don't know you. They don't know they can pray to you. They have no knowledge of the wonderful gift that we possess. Lord, you go before us, you're with us, you're in us. Lord, you lead us, you guide us, you teach us. You cover us, you provide for us, you sustain us, you encourage us. Lord, there's so many things that you do for each and every one of us. But what's so amazing is that you know each of us by name. All our needs, all our heart's desires, all our dreams, all our past, good or bad, you know us and you still say, I open the door. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, may the spirit that you've given to each of us, Lord, just stir it up and make us be a congregation on fire, a fire that is contagious throughout Harvey, Father. Lord, you can do it. You can make us like the deer that pants after the water. You can make us just hold on to your shirt tail like the lady did who had the issue of blood. She just wanted Jesus to touch her, to see her, to heal her. Lord, you help us in all the ways that we need your help. And Father, for each of us, that is different. But Lord, we trust you. The same way the Holy Spirit gives gifts, he's the one that appoints them. We trust the Holy Spirit. So Father, we thank you. We praise you for all that you have done. And Father, we look so forward to seeing what you are about to do and what you are going to do and what you are going to accomplish and how this church, Shepherd's Community Church, will be that fire, that beacon of light and hope in the city of Harvey that will draw all men to you. So, Father, we praise and thank you for just being who you are, the great I am. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.